Weather together.
Good morning. K1 News Time is 8:04, 76 degrees. This news brought to you by Chenoweth & Cohen Realtors with Tom Blaine and Max Lutke, and also our folks with the Green Country. Right now, we've got the Bartlesville Police Department Public Information Officer Jim Waring is saying someone is spoofing their number. And the scammers are using their 918-338-4001 number and calling people to tell them that their Social Security number has been stolen. Waring said that he did not have many details other than the ones we're giving you at this point, but he says if you do get a call from 918-338-4001 and the person claims to be with the police department and tells you that your Social Security number has been stolen, simply hang up. Several calls about the scam have been coming through to the police department. Lieutenant Governor Matt Pinnell will make his way to the Dinner on the Prairie event in Washington County on Monday. The dinner is being put on by the Washington County GOP. It starts at 6 p.m. Timber Oaks Venue in Bartlesville. This is just west of Bartlesville as you head west toward Bahuska on Highway 60. Adult tickets are $50, student $25. For tickets and details, send an email to info@washington-county-ok-gop.com. More news coming up right here on K1.
You deserve the best. Hi, Tom Blaine here. Whether it's a small retail space for lease, a 58,000 square foot industrial building for sale, or development land from a quarter acre to 150 acres, we have it for you. If we don't have what you're needing, we'll go find it. If you value hard work, honesty, and experience, you've come to the right place.
If you are in the market to buy, sell, or lease commercial real estate of any kind, contact Max Lutke or Tom Blaine with Chenoweth & Cohen Realtors in Bartlesville at 918-333-2222. Again, that's Max or Tom, 918-333-2222.
K1 News Time is 8:06. Osage County Election Board Secretary Kelly Chateau said Friday, October 18, 2019, is the last day to apply for voter registration in order to be eligible to vote in the November 12, 2019 City of Pawhuska Special Municipal Election. Oklahoma voter registration application forms are available at the election board office in Pawhuska and at most post offices, tag agencies, and public libraries in the county. A contract between the Oklahoma Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services and the Washington County District Court will be weighed by the county commissioners soon. In the commissioners' next meeting, they will consider a resolution regarding donations to the Washington County Emergency Operations Center. The Operations Center Director Kerry Cox will then present an emergency management grant program application for the 2020 fiscal year. And lastly, a bid for a real estate appraisal for the Washington County Assessor's Statutory Visual Inspection Program will take place. The commissioners will follow up with the phone interviews with Guy Engineering, Garber LLC, and EST Incorporated. These interviews regard the bridge inspection contracts. Washington County Commissioners will meet on the second floor of the Administration Building at 400 South Johnstone Avenue in downtown Bartlesville. This meeting will begin at 9:30, right early Monday morning. Your forecast for today, a chance of rain, and look for a high today right around 80 degrees. Then for tonight, a 40% chance of showers with a low of 71. Tomorrow, showers and maybe even a thunderstorm with a high near 80. It is 76 degrees. News on the air, on the web, on your app, and on Alexa. I'm Tom Davis, K1 News. K1, the one you trust.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages. And you've got generators for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Time now for the Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. The Green Country Gardener is brought to you by Green Thumb Nursery, Jensen Tractor Ranch, Peter's True Value, United Rentals, Overly's Woods Lumber Company, ABS Performance, LPL Painting Company, also Gross Fine Woodworks. Sharpen your shovels. It's time for the Green Country Gardener.
Good morning, Larry, and welcome aboard.
Good morning.
How are we doing today?
Finally, cooler weather. That's how I'm doing, yes.
I love cooler weather.
Last week, I was having a bout of allergies, but this week, they seem to have gone away.
That's good.
So whatever was in bloom, apparently is no longer in bloom, so. So I'm back in the saddle again.
Oh, yes. There we go. We got a little bit of rain coming our way. Is that going to affect, other than some of the obvious things, it's going to limit your outdoor activities from time to time. But is this going to pose any negative effects to some of our plant life that we have going on at this time of the year?
Not really. It's been a little while since we've had some rain. And the shallow soil is a little bit dry.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it more difficult to plant pansies and things. So actually, the rain will be welcome.
Well, there you go.
In addition to the cooler temperatures. So, and the time span between the last rain and this rain is adequate enough to keep the soil dry a little bit in between waterings. Mm-hmm. You know, I've said this over and over and over again: let the soil dry out a little bit between waterings, just to keep the fungus down. We have issues with algae and fungus in our heavy soil.
We don't need a fungus among us.
No, we don't. We really don't. And your newly installed plants also need a little bit more rain than we've had in the last week or two,
mm-hmm.
as indicated by some people's installations getting a bit on the dry side. And so, well, you need to water it.
Oh, is that all?
But we've had all this rain all year long, yes. Mm-hmm. But the area around you, the individual plant, the rip ball itself, is mm-hmm. going to dry out quicker. So you need just a little bit more water. They'll be fine. So. Anyway, also time to, we talked about this last week, we'll talk about it again because there's still time to do it. It's time to fertilize those spring bulbs, your daffodils and whatnot. Great, great, great time to plant trees right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's getting cooler, and it's easier for us to plant the tree number one. It didn't take so much sweat to swing that pick and sledgehammer to get a hole in the ground. So... I know that from experience, my goodness.
Sometimes self-interest can be the best interest. Yeah, so,
makes you want to move to Bixby.
It's
almost self-planting trees down there. But over here, it's a little bit of a battle. Also, putting in a fence, my goodness, I was talking to some people this last week, and short of using dynamite, it was difficult to get a fence in some of these yards. So anyway, so now's a good time to plant trees. It's getting cool, so instead of being an all-day project, perhaps it'll just be a half-day project to plant. It's not like that all over town.
No, it isn't really.
So, and any species of trees can be planted at this point in time. The maples, the oaks, and so on. The red maples, I think, are going to have a really good show this year. They put on a lot of growth. And they're really healthy. The red maple trees really do like the weather we had this last summer. I see a lot of rapid growth and a lot of good recovery from damage from borers and lawnmowers.
they're
on these trees. In other words, they've healed up very quickly this year.
They've had a healthy year. Good.
So they're really healthy and growing well. Mm-hmm. And their growth, I guess, any excessive growth. Or bad growth has been tempered by the storm. So, mm-hmm. So, in other words, it's fallen off. So, with that in mind, the red maple species, I think, will put on a really good show this fall. And red maple is a good one. It's a good tree to have. It does very well here. It's highly adaptable. In certain parts of the country, the red maple is called the swamp maple,
mm-hmm.
typically because it grows in wet areas. It's indigenous to wet areas, mm-hmm. if you will. However, it is a highly adaptable tree.
It can go anywhere.
Exactly. Silver maples are even in a more extreme adaptability than the red maple. But a silver maple is an undesirable tree because of its rapid rate of growth,
mm-hmm.
and its fragility in storms.
It likes to fall on your house.
It loves to eat roofs, yeah. So, out away from the house, they'll do okay if you want a quick screen or a windbreak or something.
Mm-hmm.
But keep it at a distance and keep the chainsaw sharp. and also, oak trees are a good time to plant those.
Mm-hmm.
The northern red oak usually has a pretty good fall color to mm-hmm. it, as does the Schumard oak. The pin oak doesn't have any fall color. It just sort of turns this brown color. But I don't know why people would plant one of those. I guess because they grow fast. Grow fast, fall fast. That's the kind of the quickest thing to think about that. But anyway, and water oak is another good one. It will develop some fall color on it, but typically you don't expect much fall color out of a water oak. Their attribute is an extraordinarily small acorn and a small leaf, of which is easy to clean up in the fall. And its leaves do persist. It's somewhat semi-evergreen up to a point.
To a point.
Yeah. Now, down south, they are more or less an evergreen tree. You go to my daughter's house in Christmas, and the water oaks still have
got the bright green
leaves on them, down in South Carolina. But here they tend to be deciduous. Mm-hmm. They're just a little bit more deciduous, say, than a live oak. A live oak is an evergreen form of tree further south. So, anyway, that's another good one to plant, too. I like it because it has a fairly deep root system and kind of a friendly tree to have around as far as that's concerned.
It's not gonna pose you a whole lot of problems.
Well, surface roots are kind of a problem on some trees, especially your silver maples and your red maples honestly do have a surface root issue if the soil is real heavy. If you do water deeply and infrequently, they will develop a deeper root system, which is also true for bald cypress. They will develop a deep root system. I was at a house yesterday, in fact. They had some problems with borers on some of their trees, and they wanted to make a decision whether or not to cut it down or not. And they had a row of bald cypress that in an area that is never really irrigated. And the further up the hill you went, and the shallower the soil you went, the smaller the bald cypress was. Mm-hmm. But also, there were no knees present in the ground. So, they're a good tree to have, but they do develop these obnoxious little knees if your soil is real heavy and if it's really wet. I have a weeping bald cypress at my house, and I don't have any knees around it, and I don't water that much. So, but it's done very well. So bald cypress is another one you can plant too. One of my favorite trees, I mentioned this to somebody yesterday, is the ginkgo tree. If you want a tree that does not get borers, does not get insects, does not get fungus, and is very strong in storms, consider a ginkgo tree.
Very healthy tree.
But if you're any older than 21, don't plant it because they grow so slow you'll never see it.
Never see it be fully mature. Slow grower, slow and steady.
They're a little on the slow side. But they're a good sturdy tree. And if you do happen to move into a house that does have a male ginkgo tree, you're in good luck because of their resistance to basically everything. So. Mm. But they're an excellent tree to have in the landscape. They're deeply rooted and just no problems. And we have a caller.
Let's go ahead. Our phones are open at 1-800-749-5936. Good morning. You're on the air with Larry. Okay, guess not. Sorry about that. But we'll try that again.
Sure. We do have a pretty good assortment of ginkgo trees at this point and at the nursery, too. So they're good ones to have. The beauty of it is the leaves are really nice, kind of a butter yellow in the fall, depending on the brand of butter you buy. and they drop all at once.
They do. They absolutely do. I can tell you from experience.
Where'd it go? you go to work in the morning, you come home for lunch, they're gone.
In the Midwest, it's always November 1st. I don't know why it is. Right, the day after Halloween, kaboom, it's done. That was quick.
So that task is finished in one fell swoop, with the exception of the leaves that blow in from the neighbor's yard.
Oh, my.
So ginkgos are a good tree to have. And golly, I just wish they just weren't so slow growing. Mm-hmm. But anyway, there's several variations in that. Some of them grow in a somewhat spherical shape, and some of them are narrow and upright. So they've done a little bit of genetic alterations on these to match desirable attributes to the tree. And they are, just a tough tree. So anyway, so planting trees is something that can be done at this point in time. And I have a pistachio tree on the west side of the driveway.
How's it going?
Great. When I came home the other day when it was really, really hot, it was nice to have shade.
I bet it was.
It's about 15 feet from the driveway. Uh-huh. And just the right just in the right place.
Did you ever get that air conditioning in your truck fixed?
Never did.
Well, I bet you then that shade was even more of a double relief.
Yeah, doggone it. I keep wanting, but I just don't have time.
I know.
Anyway, I had it repaired once before. The truck was so old, nobody knows how to work on it. So I had to do it myself. So anyway, what else is going on at the nursery? Shrubs, we've got a good selection of shrubs at this point. The roses are starting to show a bit more color.
They are.
So they're starting to pop on some flowers. I know Julia, I cut her back, poor thing, a while back, and she's growing out real nicely. And it'll put on a good show in the fall, and in the spring it'll be really spectacular because it's already trimmed back. Good. So if you haven't trimmed back your roses, it's just not too late. You'll just miss out on some of the blossom show in the fall if you trim them back real heavily right mm-hmm. now. So I always like to do that about a month ago. fertilization, though, is very important for your trees also and your roses and things right now,
mm-hmm.
In addition to your spring bulbs. And so a good fertilization is important. You want to emphasize a bit of phosphorus and potassium, mm-hmm. not so much nitrogen at this point. You don't want to spur on a lot of growth.
Mm-hmm.
So you do want to apply a fertilizer that's meant for either bulbs or tomatoes or roses, but not a lot of nitrogen for your fall fertilizer applications. Mm-hmm. Look at your holly plants, too, if the leaves are kind of yellow. We've had a really good year. There's no reason why they would be yellow due to fungus, perhaps. It could be an iron deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you notice a diminished leaf size, one sign of iron chlorosis is the leaves getting progressively smaller. When you bought the plant, it had leaves, you know, big leaves on it, but now they're little tiny things. On plants that are, ericaceous.
Okay.
Hollies aren't. I can't really use that term for hollies because there's some variability in that. But anyway, they're not. They need acid, but not really super acid requiring. So your acid requiring plants, typically the leaves get smaller as the pH rises, and that's a good indicator that you need some magnesium, aluminum, iron sulfate. I like the iron sulfate because it deepens the color real well of your plants too. I put it on my dwarf Yopon hollies every year, and it just looks so full and lush. And their little leaves just shine so nice.
But nice little finishing touch.
So you want to maybe add some. And I know our soil here is inherently low in iron content.
Mm-hmm.
So one good source of the iron, if you don't really want to stain up your sidewalks, is perhaps mill organite fertilizer.
Okay.
It does a good job of providing iron to your soil.
We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more of the Green Country Gardener with Larry in just a two-minute timeout. So stay with us.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has summer sale items to get your garden growing. Save 30% off select trees in stock. Save 30% off crepe myrtles, butterfly bushes, hydrangeas, clematis, gardenias, grapes, and herbs. Get flowering baskets at $14.99 for a 10-inch basket and $19.99 for a 12-inch basket. Check out their glass and metal art, too. 30% off. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30. Sunday, noon to 5.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-33. 3-3-4-4-20.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generators for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580. What do you do when you want to listen to 1400 K1, but you can't because you're out of the area? Listen to our stream on BartlesvilleRadio.com. Just go to our homepage and click on the Listen Now button in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. The 1400 K1 stream is brought to you by Cliffs Flooring and Windows, Cherokee Casino Ramona. Listen on your computer, your smartphone, or other internet-connected device. Whether you're home or away, we're your constant companion. We're 1400 K1.
Good morning, and we're back with the Green Country Gardener, and you can always give us a call if you have a question, and 1-800-749-5936 or 336-1400. Larry, we were talking about our leaves and things and
yes,
and the iron and everything else and get them green and shiny.
Exactly, and planting trees.
Ah, yes.
Now, another factor which I didn't mention earlier, and this is a mistake that a lot of people made when planting trees, is they plant them right in the middle of the drainage patterns.
No.
And there is a case in point for which I'm making designing a drain system and a regrade and new grass on the yard and all that to try to fix this problem. Is the water in the backyard all kind of funnels into one area. And right in the middle of that area is a pin oak. And, of course, pin oaks are somewhat shallow rooted. And it's swollen up the ground. And the water no longer drains through the backyard. So.
It's
a squish pit in the backyard. Or a squash pit in the backyard.
Squashy. It's all squashy back there.
So you want to make sure to be conscious of how the water is draining in your yard when it does rain. And we've had plenty of opportunity to look out the back window and see how the water goes through the backyard. And try to avoid planting a tree in that area, even though it's a quote, deep-rooted tree, unquote. They still have mass as the roots expand. It's an increased mass in the ground, and there is some swelling in the ground, uplifting of the ground in that area where a tree is planted. So you want to avoid that as much as possible. Okay?
Very good.
That water drain out so you don't have a stink pit in your backyard when it rains. So also...
a big mosquito nest,
it's,
too.
It's a kind of a busy year for perennials also. Some of them can be divided, sedums and iris. And time to cut back those peony plants. I don't like to divide peonies until late winter, mainly because the injury caused by the division of the plant, if the plant is not actively growing, can cause some issues with fungus and insect infestations.
They don't heal too well.
They don't heal very quickly, right. So the timing is important. The same thing with hostas. As the hostas emerge, typically in early to middle February, it's time to split those up, too, when they begin to be actively growing. So you want to kind of hesitate on those a little bit at this point in time. So, but anyway, as far as the perennials are concerned, it's a big trimming time, and iris can be divided and so on this time of the year. Don't do anything to the mums. You should have done it 2 months ago with trimming back. They're beginning to bloom in some people's yards. And if there's really a whole lot of sun, some people's mums are already blooming. And speaking of which, we do have a great selection of mums. We sold out last weekend, and we got some more that are ready, and those are ready to sell. And pansies are coming on for sale at the nursery, too. Last week, we sold out of pansies as well.
Well, there you go.
So we were ready for those. And you really want to get those in the ground as the ground is somewhat warm so the root system can establish. They'll be that much healthier in the spring. If you have a lot of annuals in there, you might consider maybe not clearing all of them out, but perhaps some of them, and replacing them with pansies, or putting some pansies in groups. And then later on, as the other annuals die out, you can pull those up and plant more pansies later on. But that'll if you want a solid mass. But I sort of like to think in terms of groups and whatnot on your annuals, just so you can have some color in perpetuity. Maybe a little bit of blank space in the winter, but, you know, so what else is new?
What else is new?
But anyway, we will have larger pansies available later on in the season. So after we do have a killing frost, typically Halloween, then we'll have some with a better established root system, which will more tolerate the onslaught of the cold winter, this cold weather this winter. So it's getting time to plant those, and we've sold a lot of them, and... you know, don't forget to put maybe some pansies in pots, too. I did some at my house last year, and they were very successful. The The only issue is trying to water the drip system through a frozen pipe.
But, that could be different.
He just had to kind of anticipate the cold weather and perhaps giving a heavy watering when before it gets here.
Mm-hmm.
But they were, and it was kind of off and on too in the winter. We'd have a warm spell when it was, 31 degrees. It was a cold winter. Mm-hmm. And then it got down to, like 500 below for a little while. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Some extremes in the winter. And when we had the warm spells, they just popped open and just perked up and looked great on the patio. Some great looking pots. So mm-hmm. You might want to go ahead and put some pansy pots out there too mm-hmm. in the patio.
I had someone tell me that within a 3-week span here in Oklahoma, you might see 70 one weekend. It might snow the next, and then the one after that, it's somewhere in the middle. You really don't know what you're going to get in the wintertime. Is that accurate?
One time, we weren't here at the time, about mm-hmm. 3 years ago, it got down to 30 degrees below zero.
Oh, yeah.
And 2 days later, it was 60. That's a rather dramatic.
Mayor Copeland was telling me about that. He said, you got to watch that. He said, yeah. It'll swing on you pretty good.
Yeah, it will. And it caught a lot of people. Off guard too, mm-hmm. because the plumbers were busy.
I bet they were. After that.
So,
I imagine the greenhouse it got a little interesting too. I mean,
yeah. Well, the only thing interesting was the gas bill.
It's like, what the?
But the funny thing is, though, even if it was sunny, it can be 3 below 0,
uh-huh.
and the heaters turn off in those greenhouses. The solar mm-hmm. heat is that powerful.
Wow,
in those greenhouses.
That's good.
So we throw away more heat. I wish there's a way we could store that somewhere and turn it into some kind of
a bankable change of some kind, and
then store it up for the wintertime. But anyway, even in you open up the door and this smoke of humidity just flies out the door. It's just amazing when it's cold and coming out of the greenhouses.
If you can store heat like that, you could throw away anything else you do, and you'll be a very rich man.
Yeah, but I don't.
You don't see that happening.
No.
No.
It's just difficult. We just don't have the technology to store that yet.
Yeah.
But anyway, we were talking about pansies.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Pansies are available in the big giant face ones and the faceless pansies.
Mm-hmm. Nameless,
yeah, they put a pantyhose over their face.
Oh, golly. No, pantyhose pansies, huh?
Yeah, well, actually, they have a solid color on them.
They do, okay.
Yeah, without having different differentiation in the colors, a solid color pansy. And mm-hmm. Anything from red to yellow to blue to white, plenty of colors available. Chrysanthemums, the most wanted color is yellow in mums. Mm-hmm. So we got a lot of those. They really put on a really nice show. They're just barely coming into bloom at this point, which is good because then they'll have an extended bloom with the cooler weather coming mm-hmm. on. So they'll be in bloom for a fairly long period of time. And when you look at a mum plant, you want to get some with some yellow on it or other color flowers, but there should be some with closed blooms on them also. So you have a succession of color. So it's just not all over with when after you plant them.
You want the show to continue.
Exactly, for a long period of time. So you want a succession of blooms coming on. So I try not to buy or sell forced blooms on them mm-hmm. because at the real peak of the season, if you get one that's in bloom early in the season, there's just nothing there to look at because the flowers don't last forever.
No, they don't.
Especially when it's warm.
Very, very temporary.
Right. So... We have some burning bush at the nursery that are just starting to turn color.
Mm-hmm.
And we dug one up out of somebody's yard, put it in a big old pot. This thing's 8 feet tall. It's beautiful.
Oh, my.
And it's starting to turn color. I can't wait to see it bloom. it doesn't bloom until the leaves turn red color. Mm-hmm. So the burning bush are starting to change color. So we're starting to see just the very beginning of the seasonal shift right at the equinox. When you drive down No Water Road at 7:30 in the morning and you can't see in front of you, that's the summer or the fall.
Mm-hmm.
It happens in the spring, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to time our arrival time at work to try to get there before the sunrise so I can see to get to work.
Oh, my.
So anyway, things are starting to change color right now.
We're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be back with more of our Green Country Gardener with Larry. Right now is 8:34. We'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
Don't paint yourself in a corner. Call LPL Painting and Company, professionally painting in the Bartlesville area for 20-plus years. All finishes, all surfaces, perfection corner to corner. You'll find their portfolio online or on Facebook. LPL Painting and Company, that's LPL Painting and Company, fully insured, offering free estimates. Just call 918-214-1999 for consult and estimate.
Hi, this is Brian Ballard with Broman Chevrolet Buick in beautiful Independence, Kansas. We have a fantastic selection of new and used vehicles, including GM certified. Just head north and watch your prices go south at Broman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas. At Broman Chevrolet Buick, you do not have to pay extra taxes. You only pay in Oklahoma where you live. We will treat you the way you want to be treated at Broman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas, where we're making car buying fun again. You can reach us at 620-331-4700 or 24/7 online at RomansGM.com.
Visit Peter's True Value at their new location in Dewey and find great values at excellent prices. Peter's carries a full range of Bonanza minerals and feeds from Mid-America Feeds in Tallulah. Need a new weed eater? Peter's now is an authorized Echo brand dealer carrying weed eaters and more. Check out their other new departments too, like lawn and garden. They've even got expanded inventory throughout the store, so you'll always find just what you need. Get more out of your shopping day with new hours of 8 to 7 Monday through Friday and Saturday 8 to 5. That's Peter's True Value, 1865 North Osage, Highway 75 in Dewey. Peter's True Value. Start right. Start here.
BartlesvilleRadio.com is your source for what's going on in the community and around the world. Click on BartlesvilleRadio.com and check out local and national news, upcoming events, lost or found animals, listener birthdays, anniversaries, up to the second real-time reports, and of course the latest news, weather, market news, and local sports scores and schedules. If it's on the air locally, it's on BartlesvilleRadio.com. Go to BartlesvilleRadio.com.
Oh, start you up bright and early. It is 8:36, and this is the Green Country Gardener program, and our phone line's open, 336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Larry.
One interesting thing about pansies is the root system. When you take it out of the pot and the root system hits the edge of the pot, it looks very similar to a fungal mycelium,
mm-hmm.
more so than a plant root. Mm-hmm. Very, very fine. Root on it, so because of that, they won't grow in the clay.
No, they won't.
They really won't. So you want to really work up that soil real well and put some good stuff in it for your pansies to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say, I just cannot grow pansies. Then they go and look at the dirt, and, you know, my shovel bounces off.
Well, there's your problem.
Yeah, and I've got a really kind of a heavy shovel too.
It's sharp.
Really heavy metal and sharp. Yeah. Very heavy because we break so many of them.
Oh, my.
And I was with a customer, and we were digging something up in the yard. We actually found a sprinkler interface to them. They're all excited, but then there's no timer anywhere, so I guess they just cut it off or something. But anyway,
oh.
I said, hold this shovel. He said, whoa, that's heavy. It's good for beating that ground. And digging up rocks and stumps and things. That's a good and heavy and good and sharp. But anyway, so the soil really has to be prepared for them to do well.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, the people in the know, would put blood meal when you plant your pansies. It's a natural form of nitrogen.
Mm-hmm.
But the temperature has to be down in the 60s at the most because it will burn your plants if it's too strong. Or you can just use less of it than the recommended amount. And it does help the pansies a whole lot because it's available to the plant right now.
Mm-hmm. Nitrogen's good for a lot of plants, but uh-huh. you got to watch out. So, you know what you're doing.
Get your pansies, get a little bit of blood meal and a big old bag of compost, and you should have some really nice color on them. I'm going to experiment this this winter with pansy hanging baskets.
Okay.
See how they work. So
you've got your project lined up then.
Well, yeah, it won't take a lot
long.
Of time, really.
It's not going to take much of my time.
So
set it and watch it go. See how the experiment unfolds. There we go.
I think it'll work out pretty good.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's kind of there's a lot of interest in getting landscape plans done, and we do that. Do you want to take a look at your house and see, does it really kind of look like you wanted to? How does it look like the house down the street? Or, and so anyway, we solve your landscaping problems.
Mm-hmm.
We do a plan, basically a plan view and 3D perspective view, and let you kind of see. I showed one from a guy yesterday, and he was on his phone, taking pictures of the computer screen and emailing him to his wife. And so it's like, you know, and they're going to look it over this weekend. So
very good.
So anyway, so it's a good way to see the how it's going to look like with your house, the landscape plans are. And I email them a lot to people. And so we can do that, the plan view, the 3D view, and also PDFs of the estimate and all that. We can send those out too.
Mm-hmm.
So emailing is a very popular way that we go around
to
do the estimates. Because, boy, you got it right now, and it's on your screen, and you can zoom in and look out. You don't have to wait for me to fumble around with the mouse and you can do it yourself.
You can take it outside and say, look what this is going to look like
Do a before and after picture and so on. So, and there's a really wide variety of plants from which to choose also in the landscape, a lot of which stay very well in bounds without a lot of trimming.
Mm-hmm.
We ran into that the other day with a customer. They wanted something, and said, I'm tired of trimming all these plants. What do you have? And I said, well, and I said, come to the nursery when you have time. We'll go walk through it. And they were really startled to see that boxwoods come in sizes that get just this tall.
Mm-hmm.
They don't all get 6 feet tall anymore. There's all kinds of varieties out there.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the same thing with Nandinas. I don't want Nandinas. No, these don't spread like the others. The obsession Nandinas, they don't spread. They stay small. And the colors persist on the leaves. Whereas the other ones, they come out real pretty in the spring with some red leaves and whatnot. And then they turn green and they're just kind of a static green color. But the newer ones maintain some leaf color throughout the summer. And the fall color is really good on the Nandinas as well, in addition to the berries and things too. So they're, and no bugs.
No bugs.
And outside of just a very mild case of entomosporium on them occasionally, they really don't have any problems with leaf diseases or insects at all either.
Good.
So they're pretty good plants to have also. Dwarf yaupon hollies, they're kind of another small spreading branch. I like the Bordeaux variety of the dwarf yaupon holly. Those are the ones that have the glossier leaves when you put the iron on.
There you go.
And the newly emerging leaves have kind of a reddish tinge to them. So there's a little bit of interest as far as that's concerned. And they have enhanced density as far as the thickness of the plant is concerned. The dwarf yaupon hollies do rather well here. Once a year, you want to clip them back.
Just once?
Yeah, because they do have a natural tendency to get about 3 feet tall. But they're easy to keep under control. They do have one Achilles heel. That is, if it is really dry in the winter, parts of the plant will die out.
Ooh,
really
gotta
weird.
Watch that, yeah.
How the plant just, one piece of it just kind of dies off. And when that happens, well, we just clip it out and it'll grow back together. You know, it's fine.
Yeah, but still for the time being.
But still, it's weird. Yeah. Why it does that, I don't know. However, through experimentation, I have found that if they are watered regularly in the wintertime, they don't have that problem.
Mm-hmm.
So typically when they die off in the winter due to lack of water. Well, we're at the northern edge of the hardiness on the dwarf yaupon hollies here. So they should survive, but if we have a weather extreme, a real dry spell associated with a lot of cold weather, they can cause some dieback. And they're not the only plant that does that. The boxwoods even will do that. Your junipers will suffer from some dieback, too, when it's dry and cold like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be conscious of the basically all your landscape plants. And we talk about this in the winter as it progresses. Don't forget to water those plants, even in the wintertime. And a lot of times the dryness is associated with the overhang or the eave of the house, too, and not being able to get water in that particular area. So keep them watered, and they should do fine. There are just lots and lots of other plants out there that you can use on the landscape, just too many to mention. And even crepe myrtles. There's a Princess Kylie, the Princess Zia, crepe myrtles that only get four feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all the color attributes of a regular crepe myrtle, but not all the height associated with it. So So there's lots of good stuff out there. So that gives us more flexibility as from a designer standpoint. It gives me more flexibility as far as materials are concerned.
It's kind of like the artist's palette, you know, right?
Exactly.
You got all these things to choose from. Right now it is 8:44. We're going to take a two-minute timeout, and we'll be back with more after this.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has summer sale items to get your garden growing. Save 30% off select trees in stock. Save 30% off crepe myrtles, butterfly bushes, hydrangeas, clematis, gardenias, grapes, and herbs. Get flowering baskets at $14.99 for a 10-inch basket and $19.99 for a 12-inch basket. Check out their glass and metal art, too. 30% off. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30. Sunday, noon to 5.
What do you do when you want to listen to 1400 K1, but you can't because you're out of the area? Listen to our stream on BartlesvilleRadio.com. Just go to our homepage and click on the Listen Now button in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. The 1400 K1 stream is brought to you by Cliffs Flooring and Windows, Cherokee Casino Ramona. Listen on your computer, your smartphone, or other internet-connected device. Whether you're home or away, we're your constant companion. We're 1400 K1.
If you work or live in the downtown area and are experiencing difficulty at times to find a place to park, worry no more. There is downtown parking available at 2nd and Osage that's convenient to downtown businesses and apartments. For more information and monthly rates, call 336-1001. That's 336-1001.
Smoother, faster, easier to use. That's what you expect from any update on an app for your phone. And we've delivered. Head to the Google Play Store or Apple Store to get the latest version of the KWON Radio smartphone app. News, weather, sports, and community events from KWON have never been easier to access. There's even a button now for you to sound off and tell us what you think. It's free thanks to Arvest Bank and Oklahoma Wesleyan University and available at the Google Play Store and Apple Store from KWON Radio.
Ooh, crazy is what they think about me. Ain't gonna stop cause they tell me so.
Ah, we're crazy, all right. Crazy about plants and gardening. And welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. Let's see if we have a caller on the line here. Good morning, you're on the air.
Yes, I was wondering if Larry could review the pre-emergent.
Okay.
For the spring weeds and...
Sure,
it takes care of...
Oh, a lot of weeds, you bet. We have sold the hound out of that pre-emergent this week, let me tell you. People are really aware of that. And if you have weeds such as henbit, and chickweed, and dandelions and whatnot, the prodiamine does a very good job to control the weeds. We have it in a big old yellow bag that covers 10,000 square feet. Okay. It's made by Howard Johnson's. Yeah. So yeah. Okay. So it's
still got it?
Uh-huh. We still got some. It's a good product.
Prodiamine.
Prodiamine. And that's a good broad spectrum pre-emergent herbicide. And it does do a very good job to control weeds. However, we need to get after it because as it gets a little bit cooler, which it really hasn't done that much yet, the spring weeds will begin to sprout, and then it's too late.
I've seen some already in my pot.
Oh.
Yeah, if you dig down in between the grass, around the edge of the sidewalk or somewhere where weeds tend to blow in and you start to see them sprouting, you want to go ahead and apply that ASAP. But usually the end of this month is when it starts to become more active, or middle of October typically is when they... But you want to get ahead of the game and get that pre-emergent on there. There's a reason why...
Are you saying this week, the end of September, what? That's what I...
Yeah, I would go ahead and get after it within the next 3 weeks or so to get it on there. You will still get some. If you don't get it in time, you will get some control. You won't get 100%. But the longer you wait after the end of this month, the less control you're going to have.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
All right. Thank you for calling.
For the reminder. Bye.
Mm-hmm. All right. Appreciate it. And if you want to get out on the program, you can do that too.
You
at 336-1400 or 1-800. 749-5936. It is the Green Country Garden with Larry.
And, right.
Well, I tell you what, wealth of information right here, folks. You're going to get it from the best, that's for sure. Yeah,
right. In addition to pre-emergent herbicide, I've seen a lot of borer activity on some trees.
Mm-hmm.
So typically we do a spring and a fall application of the imidacloprid on your trees, specifically of maple trees, and even some of the oaks get them. So if you do see some holes in the trunk and little piles of sawdust on the ground, no, it's not some crazy person with a drill. It's probably, you probably have borers.
Mm-hmm.
And you look on the south and west side of the tree, typically, and you'll see some corruptions in the bark, perhaps, peeling bark. And below that peeling bark, you see dugouts in the wood. Those are evidence of borers right there. So, and the imidacloprid is very easy to apply. It's a systemic nicotinoid insecticide. And there's some bad press going on with the nicotinoids concerning bees and whatnot and fruit trees and flowering trees. So you want to put that on really soon, so when the plants do bloom, the amount of insecticide within the plant is not so strong.
And so it's a timing thing.
Yes, it is.
Very much.
We typically have a problem with borers in the spring and the fall. Mm-hmm. They have kind of two cycles going right there. And right now we're getting into the... quite obviously the fall application. However, if you look on the holes that are on the tree, and if they're in a horizontal pattern, in other words, you got left and it looks like a machine gun went across the tree. Well, those are woodpeckers sapsuckers.
Yeah, those things.
Yeah, the yellow-bellied ones. So that would indicate that you'd have a sapsucker. Typically, they really don't hurt a tree. However, if a sapsucker does a real long trail across the tree and severs the phloem layer down below with his
beak,
pecking or the beak on there, it can girdle the tree and cause some problems.
Mm.
So if you do have a real bad problem with sapsuckers, you might... get a cat. No, really.
That's really about all you can do.
Because they fly around so much, they're hard to repel.
Yeah.
But usually they're not much of a problem here.
Okay.
Get a cat, yeah.
The attack of the sapsuckers.
Scare them away, that's right. So anyway, that's kind of what's happening with the borers in the trees and sapsuckers and cedar wax, not cedar waxwings, dadgummit, the yellow-bellied silly sapsuckers. Oh, golly. And your lawn also, in addition to pre-emergent, it's the last time to put down an even ratio or a little emphasis on phosphorus fertilizer on your Bermuda grass, because it'll be slowing down here in the next 3 weeks or so. And you really don't want a lot of weak growth on that going into the winter. You get some spring dead spot problems, typically when it snows in February here.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to avoid heavy fertilization on Bermuda grass and zoysia grass. Quite the contrary with fescue grass. As it gets cooler and cooler and cooler, the fescue grass will begin growing and growing and growing, and they're going to need some nutrients to grow. So look at the color of your fescue grass. It really isn't that beautiful green color you want. You might want to consider getting some fertilizer for your fescue grass and keep it pretty well watered, not overly so, but watered to the point where the surface of the soil dries out between waterings.
Yes.
It is also a good time to establish fescue seed.
So if you're looking to plant, loosen up the dirt and get her going.
Loosen up the dirt. You brought up a very good point. And we did... part of a landscape.
Well, you don't want it to be bird food.
Bird food.
Well, you
get a cat.
Get a cat.
No, really. But putting down the grass seed is a little bit more than just putting the seed on the ground.
No.
Yeah. You want to do some soil prep on that to get the seeds integrated into the soil, because you'll have a much better germination rate. If you were to do a shallow tilling and add maybe a little bit of compost, this mm-hmm. is if the soil is heavy, do a 2 to 4 inches deep on the tilling, depending on how you are with your tiller.
Mm-hmm.
And then you roll that out with a roller and evaluate its levelness, if you will, and then level that up with another rake and then roll it again. And then you scarify it with a leaf rake and then put down your seed and then you put a roller on it mm-hmm. when it's dry and then fertilize it and water it. You should have some pretty good grass emergence then.
There you go. You're looking for success.
A little bit of a process. The reason why I say rake and roll is you want to get it fairly level too. And mm-hmm. after you run a tiller, and that's why it seems rather contrary to use a roller after you till it. It doesn't smash the soil down that much, especially if you integrate compost with the soil.
Mm-hmm.
It allows you to get it level to the point where at least it has a really nice appearance when it does come up.
Good.
And also integrating the seed into the soil somewhat on that last step where it's raked with a leaf rake and put on and then rolled out. When it does rain or you do water it, the seed doesn't wash out and clump together and cause tufting,
if you will,
the grass. So
counterproductive.
So it keeps the seed in place a lot better that way, too. You Great. Can use some straw on the surface. It does a good job if you have a slope. It does a good job to control erosion on there. So at least when we do have a toad strangler, it won't completely wipe it out.
Well, you need to take one last break, and we'll be back with some closing comments in just a moment after this two-minute timeout.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overly's Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Although a Republican, Frank Phillips was a man who wisely hedged his bets. And so it was that even though he backed the other candidate, in December 1935, he invited Elliott Roosevelt, the son of President Franklin Roosevelt, to Willow Rock. According to reports, the menu for the day was elk barbecue and beer. Mr. Phillips had already cooked up a plan to make the weekend a bit more special for Roosevelt and for the other guests. Roosevelt wanted to shoot a buffalo. So Frank gave him a rifle, and out they went to stalk their prey. Elliott Roosevelt was considered an excellent shot, but as the herd of massive animals roared past, Roosevelt fired once and then twice, but no buffalo hit the ground. Frank's ranch manager, Griff Graham, seized the gun from Roosevelt, took quick aim, and killed the buffalo. Roosevelt was embarrassed to have been such a poor shot in front of friends and his distinguished host, and he took a good-natured ribbing for his shooting skills throughout dinner, when finally Mr. Phillips, roaring with laughter, admitted they had loaded the gun with two blanks. That evening, Mr. Phillips had to leave the ranch for a meeting in Chicago, but Roosevelt remained behind to try again, this time with live ammunition. The next day, Roosevelt wired Frank Phillips the following message: 1,600 pounds and a beauty, and this one only took one shot. The magic of Willow Rock. Just as it is today. Come see us soon, and welcome home to Willow Rock.
Good morning and welcome back. We just have a little bit of time left. Let's see if we have someone on the phone here. Caller, you're on the air with Larry. How are you today?
I'm doing all right, sir. Hey, quick question.
Yeah.
Is it going to time to transplant a Rose of Sharon bush?
Is it a good time?
Yeah. When's the best time to transplant them?
The best time is any time between, say, the 1st of November all the way to maybe March. That's the best. But I've moved those things in July before, and they look like they've been run through a clothes dryer, but they come out again. So if you need to move one now, you could do it.
No, I've done some of them to transplant off some old rocks and into my house. Are they pretty hardy, or do they survive transplanting pretty good?
Yeah, Rose of Sharon are very good at surviving a transplanting. It's very important to get as much soil as possible on the root when you do move it.
Yeah. What I want to do, these are pretty good size, like 6 foot across. Pieces.
Yeah. If it goes bare root, well, you might as well just throw it out to the curb. Because it won't make it, but you got to get as much soil as you can on it. It helps to have a tarp handy too. You can put that kind of around it and drag it out of the hole with a tarp. But it's not the best time right now.
Dig that around them, and then once How deep does the roots go on
there? The roots on a Rosa Sharon are fairly shallow. They'll probably on a big one, they'll probably go 2 feet deep at the most.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Well, these are big ones. These are about 8 foot across.
But it wouldn't hurt to sever that root a little bit. It'll put on another one after a while. But the bigger it is, the worse it's going to look after it's been transplanted. But don't give up on it right away. And if you do lose a lot of dirt around it, plant it in, put a lot of water in it and plant it in mud. And there's a pretty good chance it'll make it.
What kind of fertilizer should a man put in when he transplants them?
Use a root stimulator. It's got some endobutric acid in it, which is a growth hormone for plants, and it'll help it establish real well. So use a root stimulator when you do transplant it.
Okay. I've got several I want to transplant. I've got some small ones, but I've got some big ones, like 8 foot across.
Yeah.
And what I was going to do was take my excavator and dig down around the outside. How far on each side of them should it go? How big a root ball?
On a mature Rosa Sharon?
Yeah.
Probably 3 feet across. And make sure you have that excavator sharp. And, I got to go. We'll see you next week.
What does your homeowner's insurance cover? Call Phoenix Insurance for a quote at 918-336-5460. This is KWON Bartlesville, K227-CQ Bartlesville.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Mass Mutual.
I'm Bud Mishkin. 1 week after the attacks on Saudi oil facilities, the Trump administration has announced it is sending